Hey, welcome into the garage. Big Jim O'Brien, your host here.
Hi.
A lot going on in motorsports, man. There's so much going on. A lot of racing this week. We're going to talk a lot of race car stuff, but it's not just drivers, in which we're going to have Simon Pagenaud and also Max Chilton in studio. But I want to start off talking NASCAR, and not about the races itself, but Darrell Waltrip. DW is retiring at the end of the year. Now, there was a guy for the Associated Press that, no, I am not posting the article because he can suck it. Put a piece out where he took a shot at Darrell Waltrip, saying that Fox needs to shake up their coverage and they need to get Darrell Waltrip out of the booth. Okay, that's your opinion. That's fine. But he wrote that piece, and I guarantee you everybody in the garage knows damn well that Darrell Waltrip was planning to announce his retirement. So A, it was a lazy piece of writing to do that, and B, why are you trolling some guy like Darrell Waltrip? Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, all these guys who are personalities that have crossed over to do stuff in the booth, Dale Jr., you name it, all these people, none of them would have a gig without Darrell Waltrip. DW was the first driver to go into the booth. And just like Howard Cosell in a lot of ways, just because DW didn't say something that you liked doesn't mean you don't know who he is. You know why people know Stephen A. Smith on ESPN? Because you remember what he says. You may not like it all the time, but he shoots straight. DW, good or bad, you either loved him or you hated him. If you were a Rusty Wallace fan watching it, you hated Darrell Waltrip. But he was always honest and always straight, and that's what makes him a great commentator. So it was a crap move by this guy, and the beauty of NASCAR and motorsports is people react to it. So Kenny Wallace posted this video, and I want to share this, him calling out this guy.
I usually don't do a midweek video, but I'm very passionate about this subject. Darrell Waltrip, what a great man. Three-time NASCAR Cup champion, 80-90 Cup wins, been in the Fox TV booth for 19 years. Fox Sports has chose him to be in the booth. He is the trailblazer. He is the one that has made it okay for Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, to come in the TV booth. They are copying Darrell Waltrip. So here's what I'm pissed about. This horrible, horrible article comes out degrading, demeaning Darrell Waltrip. It was dumb. It was stupid. See how mean my face is? Dumb, dumb. Here's why. Let's say you have worked somewhere 50 years and they're getting ready to celebrate, give you a nice watch, give you a nice necklace, whatever it is. And everybody knows that you're getting ready to retire and all of a sudden somebody comes out of nowhere and just starts talking horribly of you, makes a horrible article. It's not that it was a horrible article. It was degrading, talking bad about him. I don't like it. And the person that wrote that article should be ashamed of themselves. Because the person who wrote that article and everybody in the garage area, they know Darrell's getting ready to retire. So why was it cool? It was not cool. It was dumb. Darrell Waltrip, I love you, brother. You're a good man.
Yeah, DW's a good man, and Kenny Wallace, you're a good man. One of the best follows on Twitter. His videos are absolutely hilarious. You know, a lot of people put up backdrops and stuff. Kenny just sits on his couch with a cup of coffee and leans over at the camera. Kenny Wallace, you're awesome. All right, so we go from NASCAR, talking about our buddy DW, into the world of IndyCar. As we record this, they're getting ready to race in Alabama. Obviously, we're getting closer to May, which means the Indy 500 here in the Motor City. Obviously, the Detroit Grand Prix is a big deal. A couple of the most interesting drivers, sort of a foreign flair. We're going from French to English drivers. We start off with Team Penske's Simon Pagenaud, and I was talking to him about this bicycle thing. If you haven't seen this, he's got a motorized bicycle with a basket on the front of it. So he and Will Power were ripping around in his subdivision. It had to be a subdivision. Went flying down the street. His wife made some comment like, wow, look, Will finally beat him at something. You got to see the videos. But we were joking with Simon when he called in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mine had an engine. Mine could probably make it all the way there. Yeah.
Man. All right. Well, Aaron, no, Aaron loves you. We all do too, man. And I know you and I were talking about it at the Tigers game last year. So, all right. So that's a date. We're gonna hook up at the Detroit Grand Prix. We'll get that done. We'll get that done, Aaron.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you.
Happy interviewing. I'll talk to you soon.
Are you ready for all the rain in Alabama this weekend?
I'm always ready.
Do you like these wet tracks? I mean, with this car, how does this car react to this kind of weather?
Well, it's, you know, obviously it's a very powerful car with 700 horsepower. And then it's 1,500 pounds, so it's pretty light. But it's intense. It's, you know, really have to tiptoe and be very gentle with the throttle. You're going to be on top of your game for sure.
Do you set up a softer car in the rain, or do you want something stiffer to keep it more balanced?
You could, but the danger, you could go softer, definitely better. You could stand up the tires as well with camber, add some downforce. But if it dries, you're going to be in a tough situation. So, you know, that's always a risk to take and something to consider. If it's going to be full rain, you're definitely going to consider a full rain setup. But I'm a positive guy. I think it's going to be dry.
It's interesting, too, when you guys are out there, Simon, because the track, even in rain, I mean, like you said, there are spots where it seems to dry out so quickly with all the cars on the track that it may not be as wet as we as fans watching on TV think it is.
Well, I would say if you think it's hard to see, it's really hard for the drivers to see then. You know, the spray that this car's lift is just incredible. And that's the hardest part of racing in the rain, is to be able to see something. So best position is to be first on the road and keep everybody at bay behind.
It was fun watching Coda. It was an interesting race, too, and I was watching you guys, and it was interesting to me. Like, I know they did a lot of stuff, like the comparisons between the two when you get into, like, you know, the F1 and IndyCar thing, which I don't understand because racing is racing, and it was fun to watch. But you guys seem to be doing a lot of opposite lock, kind of getting these cars. You were really working the wheel. Was it surprising how much you were working the wheel?
Well, that was the goal IndyCar had in mind when they came up with the new bodywork and less downforce. The goal was to give the drivers the opportunity to really show their skills and make the racing even better. And quite frankly, it's been a success. I mean, the racing is phenomenal. Driving the car is a lot of fun. It's not as fast as an F1 car, no question. But our racing, I believe, is much better and much more enjoyable for the fans.
Are you you're in such great shape? I mean, other than the motorized bicycle, we'll let that pass. But physically, how demanding is, like, so when you come here in Detroit, obviously at Belle Isle, the back-to-back races, is it more mental or physical after Indy when you come here? Is it the physical part of the dual races, or just mentally after that whole month of a buildup?
Well, it's a great question. I tell you what, Indy, the 500 is all about the mental side of things. It's such a draining race mentally. It's not really as physical as you would think because we have very little downforce. So the G-forces are not as strong as you would think. But it's mostly concentration for 500 miles. And then when you come to Detroit, it's very much about both because, you know, you're racing a street circuit with walls and very limited track space. And in the meantime, it's very bumpy and it's very physical because the concrete has a lot of grip. So it's definitely one of the toughest weekend of the year.
Do you have a handle on this car in its second season now? I mean, you guys, obviously with Penske, you guys, do you have a handle on it? Do you feel like you know the characteristics of the car? Or are you still learning new things?
Absolutely. I'm pretty ready. I think Tim Penske's done a phenomenal job over the winter. It's been fun. You know, we've worked as a team really, really closely with my teammates, Newgarden and Power and the engineers. The day after Sonoma last year, we all met and put on a program to improve the cars and improve ourselves as a team. It was a great, great meeting. And I have to say the cars are phenomenal this year. I know we would be fighting for the championship. So, you know, having that kind of confidence early on in the season is a great sign of for the future.
You going to throw out the first pitch again this year? We're going to get you here to do that?
You know, ask Merrill Kane. You know, he always keeps me busy at Tim Penske. I'm sure he's going to get me somewhere, and we're going to get busy at Detroit.
We had Max Chilton stop by, so I had to share this with you. When I asked him, we were talking about racing Silverstone. I said, well, you're an English driver. Should we race Silverstone? He goes, no, Brands Hatch for the IndyCars would be perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great track, Brandzach. She's got a lot of history there. It's, you know, Brandzach's got two different courses, actually, a short one and a long one.
Which one would you run?
I would vote for the long one.
You'd run the long one?
The historical one. Yeah.
It's, you know, you guys are on, obviously, the TV coverage this year has been fantastic. And for, to have the races shown in Europe on Sky now, you're reaching people that, are you getting people getting hold of you that have never seen you race in IndyCar before?
Yeah, it's really good. It's also been we've done a lot of work with French Canal Plus channel. They've been covering IndyCar for a few years now, and you know it's interesting to see the European crowd getting interested in IndyCar. I think you know the reason is there's a lot of young drivers coming up. There's a lot of drivers coming from other places, like Rosenquist coming from Europe, and Alonso coming for the 500 is a big name. So I think people are getting interested and understand that the sport is in really good shape, that the show is phenomenal. And I think it's making a big difference in the industry of racing, and people were interested in it.
Well, that's like my point earlier. There was a lot of people that, you know, were concerned about, like, they were trying to coda the comparisons between you guys and F1, especially out of the European people. And I'm like, just enjoy the race. The racing is competitive. Yeah. You guys drive so hard. And just enjoy the racing for what it is. I love watching the Mercedes series overseas. I love watching FP2. I love watching the Australian supercars. That doesn't keep me from enjoying IndyCar or NASCAR.
Absolutely. I think, you know, F1 is about technology and, you know, creating a new car every year. They race different cars. We're IndyCar. We're about being loud, fast, and enjoyable for the fans. We're a show. We're an entertainment business. And we want to, you know, entertain the fans by having great races. And that's what we do.
You do a great job, too. I mean, you guys, and I appreciate the time. Simon Pagenaud with us and in Alabama this weekend, and, of course, up here in Detroit, obviously, for the Detroit GP, DetroitGP.com, the 30th anniversary. It is just so much fun. And you mentioned, you know, like F1. It's interesting to me. This is the 30th anniversary of racing here in Detroit.
Yes, it's going to be a big year. I've actually, as a past winner, I've received a letter from Bud Danker saying that there's going to be a lot of special surprises during the Grand Prix. So I'm really excited about it. It's obviously for us Penske drivers, it's a very special event, knowing that it's a Penske organization. So, you know, the goal is to win the race, at least one, and to show really well. There's a lot of points available for the championship, and Detroit has just been so good to IndyCar. We just want to make sure we extract the best out of it all.
We love you guys, man. Simon, it's great talking to you, and I'll be here. Actually, I'll be hosting some of the events too, some of the 30th anniversary. I'm really trying to do an interview with Emerson Fittipaldi, because the last time I met him, I got really nervous, and it turned into a fanboy. It was embarrassing.
Don't be nervous.
It's Emerson Fittipaldi. He's like one of the greatest drivers in the world. I got nervous.
I mean, yeah, but he's retired now, so you can relax.
You don't get nervous around any of these guys?
No.
None
really.
Of them?
No. Used to, not anymore.
Okay. See, you're too cool. That's why you have a motorized bicycle. You're that cool. Hey, Simon, all the best to you. Good luck this weekend. We're looking forward to watching you guys, and we'll follow you online as well. Be well, and we'll see you here in the Motor City.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Such a cool guy. And I apologize, I forgot about the French television Canal as well. IndyCar, the ratings are up. People are talking about it, not just Fernando Alonso and all that, but the racing's fun to watch, and it really is becoming a world sport. You're seeing more and more drivers come over here. Marcus Ericsson from Formula One from Sweden. You've got Brazilian drivers. You got drivers from Spain, like Alonso sticking their nose in there. You got French drivers like Simon. And then, of course, Max Chilton's here, and Carlin Racing, which is huge in Europe, in England, one of the English teams, in IndyCar this year, which is a big deal. And we talked about it. Max was in studio. He'd actually come here to Detroit to one of the Red Wings games, which was really cool. Looked like he was having an absolute blast. We'll talk a little bit about that with Max Chilton. Max Chilton in studio, DetroitGP.com, driving for Carlin Motorsports as well. Hi, Max. How are you?
Yeah, Fantastic. We're on a bit of a media tour around Detroit, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
We love talking to you guys, man. It's so much fun. And last night you were here in Detroit for the Red Wings game. Look good. You're a good luck charm now. You have to stay.
Yeah, they had a cracking game. They won 4-1 last night. It was my first ever ice hockey game. I used to play field hockey in the UK, but never ice. So it's quite similar to IndyCar. It's fast and aggressive. And that stadium is, Little Caesars Arena is really, really impressive. It's so steep. We went up to like a radio booth right at the top, and it was like a bird's eye view.
You're hanging like
so
over
high.
The ice,
yeah,
isn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're really, really proud of that down there. We also have talk about your racing last night, the hand braking here for the pedal cars. You get a little intense there last night, Max?
Yeah, we had a little Chevrolet pedal race. Basically, there was three teams, and there was random people selected from the audience. I was paired up with this guy who, luckily, I asked him, I said, I had a selection to pick from, and I said, well, who's good at cycling? One guy said, oh, I'm an ex-BMX rider. So I was like, yeah, shotgun. So he did the first lap, gave us a good, comfortable lead, and I just had to cruise home to the finish line, had enough time to showboat and do a finish handbrake turn.
Which you got to do, again, but that's in your nature. That's what makes you such a great driver. Are you this competitive with everything?
At the end of the day, who likes losing? It's not... You know, losing is not fun. So
Cleveland,
yeah, I'm naturally a little bit competitive. But yeah, it was great fun either way.
I was going to ask that too, and I know you and I were talking before we came on, and the F1 series that's on Netflix now, and you haven't seen it, but there's one thing I wanted to touch on because I thought it was really interesting, and a lot of it is produced, obviously, you know, to make drama out of it, you know, a little maybe over. But when they talk about a driver's confidence, and they show Roman Grosjean last year driving for Haas and some of the issues he had that were out of his control or a mental bobble that he made. And he openly admitted that he was having confidence issues. As a driver, you're so driven, and I've seen the way you are, just like you were last night. You have to have that edge, don't you?
Yeah, if you're not confident in yourself, you're never going to achieve anything. Motorsport's hard, though. It's very easy to knock your confidence. If you make one mistake or you crash, you then constantly think, oh, I can't do that again, and you're instantly on the back foot. So you've got to be confident, but that's sport and life in general. If you're not confident, you're not going to get anywhere. So you've got to believe in your ability, be well prepared, and get yourself back on the top step.
And I think one of the interesting things, and I know we've talked about a lot, one of the best things about watching IndyCar is the fact that there are no back markers. From front to back, everybody has a legitimate shot, and you guys push each other so hard every race that you see it when you're watching it on TV or in person at the Detroit Grand Prix.
Absolutely. Coming from Formula One, where everyone's got different cars, pretty much. You're racing your teammate and maybe one other team. To come into IndyCar, where you are racing 24 other drivers. At Indy, you're racing 30 other drivers, or 32 other drivers. That's why it's fantastic. And you wouldn't bet on an IndyCar race, because one day someone might win, and the next race they can qualify dead last. You know, look at James Hinchcliffe. He got pole at Indy, and then a year or two later, he didn't even qualify for the race. So it's so competitive, which is great for the fans. They don't know what to predict. You've got refueling, unlike Formula One, so we have more pit stops, which is nice for the fans to see. And they just put on a fantastic show. And luckily, being in Detroit, where we have a double header, it's the only double header of the season. Fans get the luxury of watching two qualifyings and two whole races, full-size, full-length races in 24-hour periods. So it's a pretty great race at Detroit, and it's our 30th year back.
Oh, it's going to be great. There's so many great stories about racing in the Motor City. I mean, you know, over the 30 years, it's funny, I've talked about this before, too. One of the things is, like, you can go back and find some of Ayrton Senna's qualifying laps around the city and stuff, and how he was, like, what, almost a second when he would just take off and cover everybody. But he wouldn't win the race. Mechanical issues or whatever, you know, things would come up like that. And you guys, and you seem to really like this course in Belle Isle, don't you?
Yeah, it's. I came from European style racing, so we don't have ovals. We just do road and street. And I love, I don't know why, but my driving style suits street courses. So I love Belle Isle. It's a mix between like a park and a street circuit. But obviously it is a street circuit. You've got no runoff. It's solid concrete walls. So you've got to back yourself. I always say you've got to be friendly with the barriers. You've got to get as close to them as possible, but don't overstep the mark. You'll have a good race weekend. And the good thing with Detroit, if you're quick, you can come away with a huge amount of points because it's a double header. So it's one that which drivers really push for.
I want to ask. I was thinking about this when you guys the setup of the car when you guys are with the Indy cars. On a road course like Belle Isle, where you've got a lot of bumps and some of the transitions and stuff, do you want a softer setup? I know you lose some speed maybe, or you know, when you start getting the vibe, or do you want a stiffer car to drive around the track?
Some teams approach it in a different way. Personally, you want, when it's really bumpy, you want a soft car, but then you need a stiff third spring, which supports the car from like decking out and touching too hard, because if the car's just overall soft, it will just, you know, keep hitting the floor. And if you're hitting the floor, you're dragging, and that's just creating a lot of friction and slowing you down. So it's like a fine line. Motorsport is all millimeter changes with certain parts of the car. It makes a huge difference. So sometimes you can get a little bit lost, but you're actually only a few millimeters away from having the perfect setup.
So we used to talk about like maybe some of the older, the previous body design, you know, there was always talk to like what came off the trailer is what you're going to run with. It feels like now you guys have more of an opportunity to dial these cars in.
Absolutely. The cars are closer than ever. Everyone's got the same aero kit now. There's not like the Honda and the Chevrolet aero kit. Everyone's got the same thing now. So it's actually closer than ever. But there's still quite a lot of stuff we can change. So there is a big difference between certain teams in setup. But again, we're all within like a second of each other in qualifying. So it's a highly, highly competitive series. And it's great for the fans to come along and watch.
I love the story of Carlin Motorsports. I love that you guys are here. I think it's so cool. It's so cool. It's a compliment to the series and to you guys as well to do this, to come over here. Because, I mean, over in Europe, we were talking like what? FB2, right? I mean, a lot of the different series. But to be here in IndyCar, we take it as a compliment. We're just excited to have you here.
Yeah, it was great for us to make the step across the pond. It's the biggest series that Carlin have ever raced in, but they've always succeeded in everything they've done.
Right.
I've raced for them on and off for 10 years, and I've always had race wins and pole positions. So Trevor, I keep giving him an elbow and giving him the pressure that we've got to make that happen sooner rather than later. But we're up against fantastic teams like Team Penske. Roger's been in it 50-odd years. Chip Ganassi's been in it for 25 years. So we're just in our start of our second year, but we're getting there. There's a lot of work to be done, but we've got teams like McLaren that are coming over as well this year for the Indy 500. We're pairing up with them. So I think there'll be more and more teams coming across.
Well, and now IndyCar is being shown in the UK as well. So, right? So we're with the broadcast in the UK. So, you know, you start to build that as well. People at home see what you guys are doing here in the States, and the racing, like you said. Like the races so far this year have been fantastic. I mean, and competitive, and you guys are just like COTA. To see you guys running a COTA was crazy.
Yeah, I love the Circuit of Americas in Austin, Texas. I love the city, Austin. It's fantastic. And the facility, I raced there first in Formula One in 2013 and fell in love with the track. They basically took the mixture of the best corners in European or Formula One racing and put them into one. So it's a real roller coaster of a lap. It's a long lap, but it's also designed to have lots of overtaking. There's long straights into tight, slow-speed corners. So there seem to be a lot more overtaking than the Formula One race that I watched there. And hopefully we can keep that going for many, many years.
What was the joke in Formula One? The Overtake of the Year award was the one Overtake of the Year. That's whoever got it. Yeah, that was the one you would get.
Yeah.
But your guys are at Barber this week for the Grand Prix Alabama. It's always funny to me that people go, oh, Alabama, what is it? That course is crazy, the elevation changes and stuff. You have some, it looks like you have some blind turns that you're going through.
Yeah, there's lots of blind, fast corners, but it's also quite a small track. Like I always say, it needs to be scaled up 30% for a Formula One car to go there. But we still managed to rock around there, and we put on a great show. I love the facility there. It's stunning. It's like I'm a big fan of golf, so it's like Augusta of the motorsport world. Everything's perfectly groomed, and it's a pleasure to drive around there. The only issue is the weather looks pretty dire for this weekend, but hopefully it dries out a bit.
Do you like the wet tracks?
Obviously, being British, we're used to a bit of wet weather. So I'm pretty confident. And actually, the only place I've ever driven an Indy car in the rain was at Barber for a practice session, I think, or a qualifying session.
It is interesting to go back to when you guys were driving on COTA. One of the things that I noticed was you do it so seamlessly and so, I wouldn't say effortlessly, but it looks that way. The way you're correcting constantly. Everyone thinks it's just seamless the way you're whipping around the track. Even at Belle Isle, you can see it in car. Everyone's like, oh, it's so easy. They just transition through one and two. Yeah. You guys are constantly having to work that wheel, aren't you?
Yeah, if you look at the onboard, I was watching the race from Formula One in Bahrain this weekend, and their onboards are minuscule amounts of opposite lock. They're basically just telling the car where they want it to go. Whereas we tell it where it wants to go and it goes, no, screw you. And we have to then try and correct it. And it's like it's a you're battling your car every corner four or five times. So it's very physical because you're not just sort of just driving it. You're really fighting the whole car the whole time.
So that has something to do like when you're here at Belle Isle as well, especially coming after the emotional, the month-long build-up with Indy. and then to have two races like that, the physical training that you are, and you're in amazing shape and everything, that's going to be a key component here as well.
Yeah, Detroit is probably one of the hardest races of the year because we come off from the month of May, which is draining physically and mentally. And then we come into a doubleheader at Detroit, which is it's the bumpiest track on the calendar. It's a street circuit, and we've got two qualifyings, two races. It's just physically demanding. So the Monday after Detroit, the drivers are very, I think we just sit on the sofa for about 12 hours watching Netflix and just chilling because, we're pretty drained.
Yeah, I don't know if I can't say Netflix. I'm married. I can't say Netflix and chill anymore. Anyway, Max, it's great having you in studio, bud.
Thank you.
And everything, MaxChilton.com, at Max Chilton on Twitter, number 59 for Carlin Motorsports. And you guys are fantastic, man. It's so much fun to watch you racing, and it's going to be great here at Belle Isle. Good luck in Alabama as well. I do want to ask one question. I was thinking about this. As a fan of the sport, I feel, and everyone here at the radio station knows, I talk about it all the time, you can feel this IndyCar. It's building up. People are talking about it more and more. And it's not just Fernando Alonso it is the sport as a whole. As a driver, do you feel it as well?
Absolutely. Coming to races like Detroit, where we're in our 30th year of the Grand Prix this year, it's amazing that we've been building the championship for so long, and it's definitely on the way up. NASCAR seems to be dropping with its figures, and IndyCar seems to be doing the opposite and shooting up. So it's great to be with the series which is on the way up. And, there's lots of famous drivers in the series. Everyone's got a name for their own reasons. And as I said, you can never predict who's going to win. You might be last one weekend and win the next.
I still say Sebastian Bourdais should be penalized a second for how bright that car is. Just me.
Yeah, I have to wear my sunglasses when I'm behind it.
The bright shades there. All right, IndyCar at Silverstone. We should do that, right?
I'd love to.
It would work on that track, wouldn't it? I mean, I know you got a lot of fast corners and stuff, but I would think that'd be even more challenging for you guys.
Yeah, I think we've got better circuits than Silverstone, though, for an IndyCar. I think something like Brands Hatch, which I think Champ Car, I remember watching Champ Car there, Paul Tracy and Bourdais, I think 2002-ish. That would be a great track. But I'd love to take one of these around Spa. It's my favorite track in the world, so I'd love
to go there. Isn't it funny? And Merrill's here from the Grand Prix. Every driver, when we throw that out, that's the track. That's the one, right?
It's the holy grail of motorsport.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what about Bathurst?
I've never done it. That looks pretty sensational. But it's sort of all in one section, and then it's just long straight. The Spa is just a non-stop sequence of
undulating. I just think you guys coming off a mountain, when you go under fog at Bathurst, how long that one straightaway is.
Yeah.
It doesn't look real. It's like something like someone from Gran Turismo said, let's make a track and we'll wrap it around a mountain. But Spa's the one for you.
Spa's the one for me.
Okay. All right. Well, we can work on that. I don't know what I can do to help. But anyway, yeah, it's fantastic. Max, thank you so much. We'll see you here in Detroit.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Man, that was fun. Kenny Wallace, Simon Pagenaud, Max Chilton talking about DW, telling a reporter to suck it. That's a quality podcast right there. I don't know. Anyway. Big Jim O'Brien here. Thanks so much for joining us in the garage. Oh, by the way, one of my favorite, and I talk about this book any chance I get, one of the greatest books you've ever read about racing is called Go Like Hell. It's about Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans in the 60s. That's where the Ford GT came from. It was never meant to be a street car. It was just meant to kick Ferrari's ass. And the story has finally become a movie. There was a documentary, but a real movie. Matt Damon is going to play Carroll Shelby. And then, the nut guy, Christian Bale, is playing Ken Miles. He's a nut. He's a great actor, but he's nuts. So he'll be playing the Scottish race car driver, Ken Miles, who had a huge part of the development. So, and that's called Ford v. Ferrari. I think the trailer, they just showed it, but we haven't seen it yet. We'll keep an eye on that. All right. Thanks so much for joining us here. Thanks for hanging out. Enjoy all the racing between NASCAR and everything going on. Formula One. You name it. It's all good, man. Go drive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.